Hello and welcome to Talk with Christians again. Glad you joined us, and we have some awesome guests today. Why don't we start out by introducing ourselves? Ben, you started off, man.
All right. I'm Ben Grady. I'm from South Haven, Mississippi, but now I live in Calgary, Alberta with my wife and my little girl. I have a Where's the Cross Facebook group. I hope that you all will join us there and get to see some daily Bible content, and hopefully it'll be beneficial to your walk.
You got to add in the whoa, you know, when you do the warrior, man. Saying, yeah, there you go. Warriors of the cross. Warriors of the cross. Kenneth, how about you, man?
My name is Kenneth Moore, or KJ, either one. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, but I'm currently in Henderson, Tennessee. I just graduated from Freed Hardeman University, and I'm now back at Freed Hardeman pursuing my MDiv.
Nice, man. Congratulations, and best of success in that, man. Awesome. Robert, how about you?
My name is Robert Alexander. Currently, I'm living in South Mississippi, a preacher for the Loosedale congregation. I have a wife, Susan, and three wonderful children. And my oldest son obeyed the gospel 2 years ago, and I'm helping him become a preacher and teacher in the kingdom. And graduated from the Bear Valley Bible Institute last year with my master's degree. And my goal in this life is to help spread the gospel and to help further the kingdom of Christ, to do all that I can to glorify God in my life and to help others glorify Him.
Awesome, man. That's good. That's a good goal. Yeah, my name's Titus Blair, and I'm an evangelist in New Zealand right now where God has put us. So we're trying to do our best to spread the good news in every way to everybody. And so that's what we're doing. I appreciate your prayers in that, those of you listening and those of you are watching. And we're going to talk about today the topic of how do I love God? So this is a good one because it's one of the commandments we'll find out here. We're going to read from the Bible. In the Bible, there's Gospels, and one of the Gospels is Luke. And the Gospels just a story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. So we're going to read about Luke, what Luke said. Jesus said, and it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, someone had asked what to do, you know, like how can I be right in the kingdom? How can I inherit eternal life? And so Jesus answered, it says, he answered saying to him, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. So that is what Jesus said. That was the first command. And the other one was love your neighbor as yourself. Those were the two commands that encompassed the perfection of the law, pretty much. And so, guys, talk to me about it. What do you think about this verse in your life? And just any thoughts you have on it?
I'm thinking when you become a Christian and you're baptized into Christ, you're putting on Christ, you're going to be walking in his footsteps. You're committing your life to him. And that's a big commitment and a big devotion that you're putting in to him. You know, you're being one in Christ. So you're in him. You're supposed to be walking with him. You're walking and reflecting his light, right? And that means we have to be listening to him. You think about John 14:15, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he goes and repeats that so many times within that text. And I mean, so powerful that we have to, if we love him, we have to keep his commandments. And how many in the world today are doing that? I think that's a major question that people need to be asking themselves. Hey, are we keeping his commandments? Where do we find those commandments? We have to go to the word.
Exactly. Thanks, Ben. Yeah. And you were saying about baptism. The other day I was talking to the family. We're in the Old Testament. And, you know, when on the Passover, which is the time in Egypt when they were supposed to put blood over their doors because there was the angel of the Lord that would come through and it was going to kill the firstborn child of everyone in Egypt who did not have the blood over their door. And it's kind of like when you're baptized, you're kind of like the same thing. The blood is on you so that spirit of death can walk over you, like pass by you. And people forget that just like the Passover lamb's blood helped them pass over the death of the people in the house, the firstborn. So the blood of Jesus in baptism allows that death to pass you over. Like you become perfect in God because of that. So that's cool. Thanks, Ben. Kenneth, how about you? What do you got?
Well, when I look at this, I see so much. And the main thing being that between the old and new covenants, we see so much in the religious world today saying that the Old Testament God is just this dictator, mean, tyrant, and the New Testament goddess is one of love and grace. And that's not true. And part of what we see in the Old and New Covenants alike is this principle of love the Lord your God. It encapsulates everything else that we do. And to love God with all your heart, my mind goes to Isaiah 6:10, where basically the people of Israel had hardened their own hearts, and thus they weren't, I think the text says, understanding with their heart. And that's very different from how we usually would phrase something like that. We don't usually think of the heart as something that we use to facilitate understanding, but that's something that Isaiah notes and something that Jesus would later quote as he's speaking to people. To love him with all your soul, it's committing your soul to him from how you act, committing your strength and with your mind. Your mind meaning here that this is an intellectual religion. This is not just a matter of blind faith. It's not a matter of something that we just wake up and we do and all our feelings are just involved and there's no logic behind it. Nothing like that at all. Your mind has to be committed. You can't love God with all your feelings and not care about him intellectually or care about his word, study his word. In the same way, you can't just understand all the logic without having that true, genuine love in the same way that, in a higher way, that you would have for a spouse. And so loving the Lord your God is ultimately a relationship. And Luke 10:27 and its mirror in the other gospels does such a great job of encapsulating this principle, and especially what we see later with this further question that this lawyer says to him to try and make himself look better. But ultimately, the whole point is just love God, love your neighbor, get it done, and that's how you're living the Christian life.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and also, just think of this as a person. Like, if you had a friend, and they only loved you with their heart, but they didn't care about you with their soul and their strength, they never helped you lift things, they never helped you with their mind, it really wouldn't be much dedication, it'd just be partial. So this is like everything. This is encompassing all that we are. Everything that you could imagine, from your mind to your body to your soul to your emotions and heart, all of that. So that's pretty cool. Thanks, Kenneth. That's good, man. Robert, how about you?
These 4 points here are so powerful. You know, as you pointed out and as Kenneth pointed out, that it encompasses the whole man, whole of us. You think about, as Ben noted, we keep God's commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. But when you think about our obedience to God, it begins in the heart. I'm reminded what Paul said in Romans 6:17, obeying that like form of doctrine from the heart. A lot of people today say, well, if you ask them, how do you know you love God? Well, I obey him. Well, why do you obey him? Well, because I have to. Well, if you're obeying God because you have to, is that really from the heart? Is that really, and when I think about heart here, I'm thinking about the idea of being sincere. You know, pure motives, unfeigned. Is that really sincere? I mean, are you just doing it because you got to, or do you really love God? Is it coming from the heart? Again, think about what Christ said of the Jewish religious leaders, how they drew nigh unto God with their lips, quoting from Isaiah, but their hearts were far from him. Mm-hmm. And what God wants most of all is our heart. And I think if we give God our heart, the rest of these things, our soul, and I think about our emotions, our strength, our energy, and our mind, the intellect, as Kenneth pointed out. If we give God our heart, all of these things won't be a problem for us. And I think that's, and I've never thought about it this way, but I think that that's probably the reason, possibly the reason why Christ, in talking about how we love God, begins with the heart. If God doesn't have our heart, does he have anything of us if he doesn't have the heart? And I think that, the heart here really, really sticks out. And to me, that's what makes it so powerful.
Yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, I was thinking this too. I just saw this for the first time today or the other day when I was thinking about this verse. What does it say? You must love the Lord your God. You see, I always missed that part, love. And it's like, wait, how do you love him with your soul? How do you love him with your strength? How do you love him with, I always think of love as an emotional or like kind of a, you know, sacrificial thing. But here, love is the very first thing. You must love the Lord your God. So it's that love part. So you can have your heart, soul, mind, and strength in him. But if it's not in love, in that context of love, then it's like, it doesn't matter. Like Paul said, you can be burned at the stake and sell all that you have, but you do not have love, it doesn't matter. How does it profit you? So that's, Yeah, I always thought of the I said love's in there, but love always people think about love being an emotional thing. But there's actually a soul love, there's actually a strength love, and there's actually a mind love, because he's saying do all those things. So that's that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's good stuff, guys. Yeah, I love this because it teaches me that that God has said, look, give me everything and you'll lose nothing. The Bible says that. It says if you love the whole world and you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, you've lost everything. You don't gain anything. So yeah, this is great. Those of you listening, as Christians, first of all, we're not perfect. And we always mess up. I'm sure many times I don't love God with my heart or my strength or my mind. But the goal is to be continuing to strive to do that. Walk in the light. Follow Jesus' example. Live that out. So we're not perfect. You're not going to see a Christian who loves perfectly. That's not going to happen. So I want you to know that. Like, there are a lot of people who you might have seen as Christians that expect you to be a perfect person. But Jesus is that perfect person, and that's who we follow. But it doesn't mean that we're perfect. So if you've ever been hurt or anything by someone who professed to be a Christian in a certain way, just know that they're not Jesus. And you need to learn about Jesus, okay? Mm-hmm. Follow him. Don't follow that person that said they were a Christian. I hear this all the time. You know, people don't, they always talk about the Christians and why they're not a Christian because of this person. Don't do that. Learn about Jesus and say, that's why I'm a Christian, because I want to be like Christ, okay? I'm just letting you know that right now. We're here for you. Ben, Kenneth, and Robert, we can help you answer questions and help you go down that path if you want to choose to do that. So let's go to our first question. And you guys can each answer this one. How do I love God with my heart? So you might just put in your own life, like what you're doing, what you strive toward, what you strive to do. How do you love him with your heart? How do you love him with your soul? How do you love him with your strength? And how do you love him with your mind? So let's all answer this individually, and maybe some things that we've helped people with who've had the same question.
When you think about the heart, one of the things that helps me is, you know, and again, I guess you're going to tie this in. I try to tie it all together. If you know, seeing the heart of God in the scriptures, you know, and understanding what God is like, understanding who God is, understanding the passion, the love he has for me, helps me to better understand the passion, the love I need to have for him as his child. And we're all, every human being in a sense is a child of God, because we were created by God in that sense. Because we are all, you know, created by God, as Paul would talk about in his sermon to the Athenians in Acts 17. But as Christians, we are especially close to God because we are his covenant people. And to help me love him with my heart is one thing I've done, is gone through the scriptures, and I try to help others with this as well, is to see how God has shown his heart to us. Make a study of God's character in the scriptures. And as far as my soul is, if I give my heart to him, well, you know, I'm entrusting my soul to him. And that's the main thing, because I obey God from the heart, because I want him, I desire for him, and I need him to save my soul. And God is faithful. When he says he will save, you know, we can take it to the bank. And these are some things that I found that helps, and these are some things that I try to teach others. As far as my strength, you know, it talks about that literally deals with our energies, giving our time and our effort to serving him in this community in a variety of ways. During the pandemic, it's a lot harder, obviously, being able to serve, but we have tools such as the internet that we can reach out to others, you know, avenues such as this podcast. Teaching, using our energies to find the best way to serve God. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, I've told people, you can serve, you can love God with your strength in little ways. Give someone an encouraging phone call, a pat on the back, or just your presence. You know, the little things make a difference when it comes to loving God with all of our strength. And I know several older Christians who are weak physically, but have shown the love of God mightily in their lives by kind deeds, such as an encouraging word to me. And I think as Christians, we need to be reminded of that. As far as, you know, loving God with my mind, obviously we would all agree, just feed on his word and learn to develop the mind of Christ. As Paul would talk about in Philippians 2, verse 5, it's all about becoming more and more like Christ. And if we love God, we're obviously going to be more and more like His Son. And that's what I teach. And that's what I tell teach others. And that's what I strive to do in my sermons as well, is to grow closer to God, is to grow closer to Christ. And we do that by becoming more and more like Christ.
That's good, Robert. Thanks, man. Kenneth, how about you or Ben?
Well, I guess I can go second. Well, sort of as already said, you love God with all your heart by giving this love that is, again, this love that's beyond the love you give your spouse. I mean, I think about the clear, evident pain that God is experiencing when you read the book of Ezekiel. you don't just see this book being that, oh, God is just going to destroy these people for no reason. You're seeing through all these images, these stories that he's telling to try and symbolize and to make Ezekiel and the people understand, this is why this is happening, because your heart was not wholly committed to me. You see this throughout, like Asa, for example. You see his heart departing from God, and even though we see, it says that Asa's heart was wholly true all his days, there are some questions in there. Even Solomon, before we get to Ecclesiastes, we see in 1 Kings 11 that he is completely turned in the wrong direction because his heart was not wholly devoted to God. Again, the soul, the soul is the most important part of you. Any muscles that any of us have, anything that any of us are prideful of, it doesn't matter. The soul is the most important part of who you are, not your skin, nothing of the sort, not your voice, it's your soul. And with that soul, we make these decisions in this life. The way that I phrase it to people sometimes is, throughout your life, you are essentially ordering a plane ticket. And throughout your life, these choices that you make, whether you choose to accept Jesus into your life, whether you choose to live faithfully for Christ throughout your life, and these decisions that you make, by the time you reach eternity, you're being sent where you already wanted to go. You place the ticket on your own accord. And that is where your soul is stuck. And that's the importance of the soul. That's the power that you have over your own soul, in a sense. Your strength, once again, you're making it to where all of your energies are being spent to try and understand God more. Something that I find that's so interesting is in Matthew chapter 22, we see the same story being ran through, but there's sort of a skip over the word strength, and it just goes straight to mind. And I know some people sort of talk about, well, is this a problem? Is this a contradiction? I don't think it is. Because in some ways, I think these last two points can be so connected. God makes it so clear throughout his word that the strength that a person has is his mind. It's why Christianity isn't one where, you know, we're not fighting like in Marvel movies. We're not punching each other in the face, and we're not smacking each other with Bibles. We're giving knowledge. We're examining the scriptures as the noble Bereans did. We're doing this in a way that's logical, that's reasonable, exhibiting this wisdom from above that the book of James talks about. And so ultimately, loving God, once again, it's this all-in-all principle that binds everything that we read, this entire narrative of scripture. And it boils it down to the single principle that if all on earth would simply follow this key principle, all other issues would be resolved right then and there, because it would get people immediately into the word. It would make people want to study. It would make people want to listen to the preachers. It would make them want to hear sound teaching outside of any corruption that's come over the years in religious history. And we would just be able to truly love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And you know, everybody, there is one real superhero that came to this planet. Jesus, the Son of God, lived a perfect life, died, and rose again. There's nothing more super than that he can rise again, overcome death. And so that's what we do, all of us here. We're following Jesus. And it says that Jesus, that God so loved the world. So God demonstrated that. So our superpower as Christians is the love of God demonstrated through his Son. And that is the power we have. And by the way, if you want to know anything that breaks evil, love is the only thing that breaks evil. That's it. Nothing else. You can have super ray beams. You can be Superman with super strength. Still won't overcome evil. The Bible says you can overcome evil with love. So there you go. Good stuff, Kenneth. Awesome. Ben, how about you?
I think we have to step back and go, hey, Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us. We have to realize what he's done for us and then acknowledge that we are committed to giving our all for him and understanding why we should and why we should love him. He loved us first. And since the beginning of the world, you know, he's had a plan to save us, to give us that ability to come to him and be in right state with him. Then we have to listen to him, you know. We have to love our neighbors, love souls like he loves souls, love others, trying to reach them with the gospel truth that can save their eternal soul. You cannot love God and not listen to him. How does he speak to us? We have to step back and think about these things. How does he speak to us? He speaks to us through the word. You cannot love him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind without a steady, healthy diet of the scriptures. And if you're not doing that regularly, if you're not planting yourself in the word, you're never going to grow into the beautiful tree that the Lord would have us to be, right? He wants us to be fruitful. How are we going to be fruitful if we're not studying the word ourselves, if we're not growing ourselves? We can only love God more by knowing more of him and learning more about our God, his attributes, his nature, his promises, by listening to his word. And then, you know, talking to him as well. So praying to him. We can pray to God. We can speak to him. He speaks to us through the word. We speak to him. We bring all of our hearts, troubles, difficulties, strife, all the things we face in this world to him, lay them at his feet, because he's going to carry us through. He's going to get us through all these difficult times. And then, you know, obviously doing things for God, you know, that kind of attributes to us going out and sharing the gospel. But there's so many things we can do in this world to be a light and try to bring others to him and try to be living as Christians that people can see and know. And hey, that guy, he's different, right? We're supposed to be a set apart people. And I think people, if we're going to be fruitful, they have to see that. They have to see the love that we have for them. We have to be able to invest in them, know the needs, know where to start with them, you know, get to know them. Go, hey, where are you at? What's your background? How can I help you? How can we get you to the right state of mind that, you know, you want to serve the Lord, that you know the truth? You know, you start where he's at and teach him the gospel, teach him about Jesus. And he's going to want to obey that if he sees you being that light and that example that he wants to be like.
The only reason people become Christians is because of Jesus, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolutely.
It's because of the sacrifice his son made. And I'll speak to this here. How do I love God with my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind? Well, I know when I'm not loving him with those things, when I'm not dedicated my soul, my heart, my mind to his purposes, his plans. Mm-hmm. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, this is a good one. By the way, when everybody mentions scriptures, what they're talking about is the Bible. You've probably seen the Bible. I don't know if you have, but you can look it up online too. So the Bible, when they say scriptures, they mean the Bible. And so just to clear that up, if any of you don't know what that means. But anyways, in the Bible, 1 John, and John was a disciple of Jesus directly. So he got to hang out with Jesus. He was with him all through the whole ministry he had. So this is a person who walked with Jesus. And it says in 1 John 4:20, if a man says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? So in verse 21, it says, and this commandment we have received from him, that he who loves God ought to love his brother also. So you see, one reflection for me of whether I'm loving God is how I'm loving people, those around mm-hmm. me. And so I think you could encourage yourself if you're a follower of Jesus, you know, a Christian, and you know, you're questioning, how do I love God? Well, how do you love people? First of all, how can you love God who you haven't seen if you don't even love those people that you see around you? And so that's pretty cool. Like, to me, it's encouragement to me. And this is what dedicates my, this is what makes me want to dedicate my heart, my soul, my strength, and my mind. Is in 1 John 3:16. People always mention John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, so that was about God's relationship with us by sacrificing his son willingly for us. But in 1 John 3:16, so you can remember these two John 3:16s. It says, by this we know his love for us, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. So 1 John 3:16 is awesome because it kind of goes together with John 3:16. God loved me so much that he sacrificed the most important thing to him, his perfect son. Mm-hmm. And that will help me engage my heart and engage my soul, engage my strength, and engage my mind, because a sacrifice was made for me and it didn't have to happen. Jesus could have said, you know what, not Titus, though, leave him out. I don't want him in there. You know, but Jesus didn't do that. He says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And a sinner, folks, is someone who's turned their back on God. And we all have turned our back on God when we've chosen to do something that God has asked us not to do or that we knew was wrong. We've all done it. We've all done it. And so we've already turned our back. And I talked to some good Muslim friends. And, you know, they believe that you can turn back to Jesus, that you can just, or not Jesus, that you can turn back to God, that you can turn back and face him correctly. The problem is that when you have turned your back on God, what power do you have to turn toward him and be right? You see, you're stained. Yeah, we've all been stained by sin. And that cannot be washed away by just turning around. How can we in our own power wash stain away? We can't. We can't wash sin away. So these are good discussions I have with my Muslim friends. But I want you to know, as you're listening, that only when you know Jesus' sacrifice and God's love for us will you be able to engage in number one, which is loving God with your heart, your soul, your strength. So that's my thoughts on that one. Now we're going to go to the next one, unless anybody else has any comments about this. We'll go to the next question. And this one is, what are some practical ways you have increased your love for God? I mean, this is an awesome question, because I would love to, I mean, shouldn't we all want to be like growing in our love for God? Shouldn't that be a great goal? So what's some practical ways that you either have learned from someone, or obviously the Bible, you've learned from the Bible, but other people, you've seen them do this, or you found in your life to do this?
Well, you know, we become like what we behold. So if we see these men daily, day in and day out, doing God's will and going out and doing the work, and we put ourselves in those situations where we're with as a role model of sorts, you know, like Timothy and Paul or Titus and Paul, you know, you see those situations where he's leading and he says, follow me as long as I'm following Christ, right? And these guys are being instructed and learning from him and seeing that example. And so I think setting ourselves up to work with people like that, people that are already doing the work and already on fire and already where you want to be, can help you become where you want to be as a Christian and help you to grow. And then another thing would be maybe obviously studying the word and listening to lessons or looking and doing real in-depth studies that, you know, provoke your thoughts, provoke you to look deeper and dig, you know, pull out that shovel and just start digging into the word. And I think that's where we have to really ignite our minds, and that'll cause us to want to have that, want to study more and look more into the word. I mean, how many times do you just don't have an interest? Oh, I don't really want to learn more about that or this or that. So you have to really pique that in, spark that, you know, fire in your mind to make it want to grow and spread. So I think those are some things that we can do on a regular basis to help us to grow into what we want to become and become more loving of the Lord and more pleasing to the Lord.
So like to recap would be find other people who you can learn from and serve with, and then also be in God's word and dig deep and in a meditation. Absolutely. On that. Meditate on the word, as the Bible says.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. And by the way, when Ben mentioned Titus, that is not me. With Paul, that was Titus like a long time ago. Yeah, so I was named after the book of the Bible, Titus, but Ben is not talking about me and Paul, because Paul's been gone a long time. Kenneth, what about you, man?
Well, before we had Zoom, before we had Facebook, before we had all these different things, people would have to, if someone went away, say a soldier, for example, he would have to send letters to the person that he loves. You would have to send some form of written communication that was usually like, you know, you could send a few pages, but ultimately it's this letter that has to come in the mail and you have to read it. There's no letter that has any effectiveness if no one reads it. There's no card that has any effectiveness if you don't read it. And so I have to give the cliche answer here by saying that God has chosen this communication, this communication method of scripture, this written letter that we have. There's no longer the need for us to have these superfluous, and I don't mean to say superfluous in the sense of you know, as if God communicated wrongly in the past, nothing of the sort. But we see on TV all the time faith healing. We see all these stories of supposed miracles and things like that, whereas God has given us the perfect method right here within the scriptures. He's given us this way for us to understand and learn more about him through reading, through study, through proper interpretation, through rightly dividing the word. Because again, as you said, in 1 John 4:20, we haven't seen God. And so if we don't love our brother, how are we going to love him? We see one, we don't see the other. And because we can't see God, we can see, however, what he gave us. We can see, however, what he wrote to all of us. And so early on, I mean, I wasn't brought up a Christian. I was raised in the Baptist church. And so what ultimately made me learn, it was not only this amazing influence of Fried Hardeman, but that influence was making me read. It was making me study. It was making me realize these things that I've been struggling with, these answers that I've been seeking, they've been in the Word of God the whole time. All this time that I've been searching for whispers, all this time I've been searching for some major sign to happen, it's all been here. And I have been amazed and blown away just by every time I open the pages of Scripture and every time I look at everything that God has given to us, everything that he could have chosen to not give us, chosen to not give through the inspired apostles and so forth. And how could I not love him? Just in the same way that if I'm someone waiting for a letter from a dear friend who's off at war, and they send that letter over, would I really leave that letter sitting there, or would I open it and see what they said?
That's good, man. It made me think in my head, those of you who are listening and us here, have any of you had a book written specifically for you, you know, to benefit you, to make you, you know, to give, like you said, Kenneth, the letter. Have any of you had a book? Well, guess what? You have. God wrote a book called the Bible for you. Your name's on it. Like it's not the Bible. It's called Titus's book for Titus. You know, that's me. For me, that book is for. So it, when you see a Bible, I want you to, you all listening who haven't read the Bible, or if you see a Bible in real life or online, I want you to switch that Holy Bible name out to say for you, because that's what it is. God's word letter, a love letter to you, demonstrating his love. So that's good, Kenneth. Awesome, man. Robert, what about you, man?
I think some of the most practical ways that I've increased my love for God is having other Christians, and I'm going to deal with this from a personal perspective, is seeing God-like conduct on the part of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been through a lot of difficult situations and circumstances in my ministry. There have been times I've wanted to give up, but on the other side of that, there have been fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who've been there to lift me up when I've wanted to give up. And I remember one night in a hotel room, I wanted to quit preaching, wanted to give up, but then I had a dear sister in Christ talk to me for about 30 minutes, encouraging me. And, you know, and having phone calls like that, having fellow preachers call me up when I've been going through difficulties, asking me how things are going, seeing their Christ-like concern for me, well, that really made an impression on me as a Christian as well. And it drew me closer to God as well, seeing that I do have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who care about me, that I'm not in this by myself, that they do care that I'm going through trials. And thus, if they care, God cares. And so understanding that from my perspective, it enabled me to step back and see God being there for me. And knowing that I can cast my cares on him because he cares for me, helped deepen my love for God. Also, a second way, and again, a personal experience, my wife had a very difficult pregnancy with our middle child, Liam. She went into preterm labor at 24 weeks and several other times, and it didn't seem that he was going to make it. One time she was in the hospital, and one of the nurses said, you're not going to come out of the hospital pregnant. But my wife and I spent much time in prayer, and after 5 days, she left the hospital still pregnant. And again, why was she still pregnant? The only answer I have for that, and I'm confident, is because God answered our prayers. And seeing that in my life, in our life, seeing her enduring that in recognizing God answering prayers, again, that's another way that grew my love for God. And a lot of times as Christians, I'm afraid our love for God, especially when it comes to prayer, is that we think, well, I hope God hears me. I hope God answers me. But there's a reason why James said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's a reason why Peter reminds us that the ears of the Lord are open unto the righteous, because prayer is powerful. And you know, there's a reason why Paul would exhort the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 to pray with all supplication there in verse 18 and following. So from that personal experience, having our prayers answered by God, that drew me even closer to God, deepened my love for Him as well. And those are two powerful ways. Personal demonstration by our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and the fact that God answers prayer, really helped me from a practical perspective to increase and deepen my love for God.
That's awesome. Yeah, because what better thing than to love God more, right? And see His love for us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. For me, thanks, Robert. That was good, man. We all have like things that are similar when we talk, which is great. You know, they kind of flip the threads of God flow through all of our discussion. For me, I think I've learned to love God more by loving the lost. And what that means is when I'm out there and I'm talking to somebody about God and Jesus, and I see how broken they are and that they have no hope, I realize that was me. You know, like God was talking, what I get to be is I get to be Jesus to these people. I get to be that light to them. And then I got to see, how Jesus was that light to me. And then I saw behind Jesus is God. Like He's the one who sent Him. So it's pretty cool when you're out there and you realize these people that are lost, when you start to talk to them about the light, how much it changes them. And then you realize, well, what is the light? God is the light. Like God brought this love. It's the love of people. So for me, I think if I want to increase my love, I just have to love people more. Because when I love people more, I realize how, like, let's say someone's mean to me. You know, I say, hey, do you know about Jesus? I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me about this religious stuff. Well, that was me. You know, that's us to God all the time. And yet I go and I persist and I say, yeah, but you know, let me just tell you a little bit about that. And you keep working and you see the heart change or you see that. And then I realize, you know what? I was just like that guy. And God comes to me in such just with eternity for free to Him. Like says, here, Titus, I love you. I want to give you something for free. Like you don't have to sacrifice anything. You just have to come to me. You have to believe. You have to come. And I'm like, no. There's something else going on. I got to do this other thing. And so I get to see through other people how I treat God. And then I get to express that what is it? Unconditional love to them. That's hard. Have you ever tried to love somebody who doesn't love you, or a stranger, or like somebody treats you bad? That if you can master that, then you'll be like Jesus, because Jesus did it all the time. So that helps me love God, is knowing how hard it is. I would say hard in quotes, it is for God to love me, because I don't love Him enough. I don't love Him well enough. I don't return that love. And yet He still persists and He shows me His Son perfectly. So that's a practical way. You guys got any more? My practical way is go and love other people. Go spread the good news. There was a Christian brother I went. We had a little get together. They call it a retreat. I don't like to call anything a retreat. I want to call it an advance. You know, we're not retreating, we're attacking. So it was this quote retreat. And so I invited people to go out in the town and spread the good news. And there's a good Christian brother, amazing guy. And he was like able to just do so much cool stuff to approach strangers and talk to them about Jesus. And it was such an encouragement to me. And so I think just being around those guys like you've talked about and gals who are inspiring to you and help you see God working in people's life, and then go do it. Okay. You're not going to be able to love God if you don't love people. You got to go do it. We can move on to the challenge, because we have a challenge now. So we had two good questions, and I want to encourage you all who are listening and watching, if you have any questions, let us know. Ben's on Facebook, Kenneth, Robert, you can contact any of us. So remember that. If you got questions, let us know. We're going to go on to the challenge this week. So this week's challenge is to spend 10 minutes per day this week thanking God for all He has done. Because I think what you're going to learn when you thank God, and by the way, if you're alive, be thankful, because you can't be thankful if you're not alive. So if you can't think of things to be thankful for, number one, be thankful that you're alive at this moment, to be thankful. And then go for, just start listing things. Be thankful for your thumb. and then your finger, and then your other finger. You think about all the things you could be thankful for and just go down the list. You'll find something to be thankful for. And I think when you find out what you're thankful for, then you'll find out how important God is in your life. You know, like that he's what he's doing for you is more than maybe we know or appreciate. So it's 10 minutes per day this week, thanking God for all he has done. So real quick, we're going to go down the list. Ben, why don't you thank God for a couple things? Give people an example for you personally, some things you're thankful for about, and then we'll just go down because this will help people who might not know what to do.
Well, I'm thankful that he sent Jesus to die on our behalf. I'm thankful that he's given us his word to guide us into all truth that would give us life eternal with him. You know, God wants what's best for his creation. Every word of Christ is meant for our eternal happiness. And if we don't abide by that, we don't look to it for guidance and instruction. I mean, we should hang on every single word of the scriptures. And I think that's a vital thing that we should be really digging and looking and being thankful that he's given us that and a way of salvation, a way that we can be after this little vapor of a life goes away. You know, we'll have eternity, which we can't even fathom in our minds, you know, because it's so long. And we look at that and we go, hey, you know, do you want to be in eternity forever because of our sins and hell and fire and brimstone and pain and agony and tears and darkness and separation from our creator, the Lord God? And, you know, I don't think anybody wants that. I don't think we want that for anybody. And I think we really, really love people. We really realize that fact that this is their chance. This is their time to make things right and live for the Lord. And so they can have eternity with him. And, you know, that's going to be more, not only showing our love for God, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be showing their love, you know, God's love for them and being able to illustrate that and demonstrate that. And then, you know, help them to realize the vital importance that they need to be in a right state with him so they can have eternity and, you know, not to take these great blessings that he's given us for granted. You know, we could say, yeah, God's given us the oxygen we breathe every day, you know, every breath. He's given us the food. He's given us the shelter over our heads, you know, our families and friends and loved ones and so many blessings, even in these dark times, you know. But the greatest thing he's given us is his son and salvation. So we need to look to him and be thankful for that.
Yeah, and you were saying if you want to pray, you could literally pray and thank him for every book in the Bible. You know, thank you for Genesis, Lord, for what is taught. And like, if you don't know what to pray or be thankful to God, be thankful for the things like Ben had said, just the Bible. If you went through the Bible and prayed every book of the Bible, it would take a little bit of time. So, you know, that's good. And then thanks, Ben. How about you, Kenneth?
I am thankful for the fact that God allows each and every one of us to serve in some way. I'm thankful for the fact that whether I were preaching, whether I were blogging, whether I were just helping someone across the street, in all these different ways, we're allowed to serve God and serve his creation. And I couldn't be any more thankful for that. I could be, and that's what I meant to say. I could be more thankful for that. And that's something that I need to pray more often. And I'm thankful for you, brothers, and for all in the brotherhood that are just working to spread that word. I think so often about how whenever a new ruler would come into power in the first century, you'd normally hear this term good news. The good news of insert ruler that was coming, right? And this, how this was a political statement in a lot of places. And yet we are spreading the good news. What does that show us today? That shows us that we are all these ambassadors, these representatives for the greatest government power that could ever exist, the greatest kingdom that could ever exist, and to serve the king that guarantees our victory, and that being God and his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us. For that, I'm thankful beyond measure.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Robert, how about you? Thanks, Kenneth.
It's hard to limit it to a couple of things because as I sit here and I've listened to you guys, we all have so much to be thankful for. But I am thankful for the opportunity that God gives me to serve. I'm glad he allows us, when he didn't have to be his servants here on earth. It's a privilege, it's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. And it's a blessing to serve, knowing that we're not just serving God, but we're serving one another in love, as Paul would talk about in Galatians 5, verse 13, that we are servants of righteousness. We are seeking to do good. I'm thankful that I can be a servant of righteousness, that God has made it possible for us not to be servants of sin anymore. And also in connection with that, I'm thankful for our spirit, for the spiritual family we have, that we are as brothers and sisters in Christ. We often think about the church and we forget the fact that we are the family of God. We've all been, as Christians, we've been born of water and of the Spirit. We've been born again. We're born as God's children into the kingdom. And thus we are the sons and the sons of God, the sons, daughters of God. And thus that makes us brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we wear the name of Christ. And that's something I don't think we can ever be thankful enough for, is to be a part of God's wonderful family. Like I said, so much to be thankful for, but those two things really stick out to me right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm thankful that, like you guys were mentioning, being a servant, serve, you know, the one thing we serve is pure love. Like, I never knew how to love till I learned about Jesus and God. Like, until I saw how Jesus loved God, I didn't know how to love God. And until I saw how Jesus loved man, and I didn't know how to love man, those around me. I'd always see that verse, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm like, what are you talking about? What does that exactly mean? Like, how do you apply that? And then Jesus said, I'll give you a new command, that you love others as I have loved you. And it made perfect sense to me. And how did Jesus love us? He gave up a kingdom. He came down and lived in the dirt. And he got beat up and killed innocently. Mm-hmm. Then he rose again, and he still forgives. And even on the cross, as they were sacrificing him on there and killing him, he said, Lord God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen did this later in the Bible. You'll read in Acts. You should read Acts. It's a good one. Stephen does the exact same thing as they're stoning him and killing him. Could any of you, if someone murdered you and your family, could any of you in a pure heart say, I forgive you? That's the question, isn't it? But God gives you that amazing love to be able to forgive others, even when they kill you and your family and everything you love and enjoy in this life, and you can still forgive. So I am thankful for that love that is so great that there's no other love I can know that's that powerful. And if you think you know love, you don't. The love of God is the love that is love. And you know what? If you don't feel loved, you are by that powerful love. So get to know God, like read his word, start in the Gospels if you want, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And just start reading today. If you hear this, start reading today. That's what I'm thankful for. God's taught me to love through his son, Jesus. So that's it, guys. That's a wrap for this show. We're going to pray and take us out in prayer. And I think Kenneth will be doing that. First of all, I am thankful for you too, just like you guys said. And I pray that God will work in you guys to show God's love also this week and as you're doing the things you do. So Kenneth, would you mind taking us out with a closing prayer here? And then we'll call the show. All right.
Let's go to our God in prayer. Dear God, we are so thankful for this opportunity to be able to spread the gospel. We're thankful for technology for allowing us to be able to do something like this. It is such a great honor, and I pray that we use all the resources that we have to serve you, to praise you, to worship you, and to be disciples, and to ultimately make disciples. Lord, we're thankful for the example of love that we have from your son. We're thankful for how you've loved us so that we have a perfect blueprint, a perfect roadmap of how we ought to love our fellow man. Lord, we just pray that we do continue to love you with everything that we have. We continue to love you with all aspects of ourselves and to not leave anything apart from you. Lord, help us at this time to not put anything above you, to not put anything in our way of serving you with all of our vigor and with all our love. Lord, just thank you once more for your son. Thank you once more for your word. And Father, we thank you most of all for all that you do. And we thank you for all that you are. It's in your son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.